is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Emmanuel Macron re-elected president of France. And yet, I welcome Gregory Copley of Defense and Foreign Affairs to comment on President Macron in a position to take charge of the EU, of NATO, of Europe's response to the Ukraine crisis. Except, Gregory, a very good evening to you. The success of Macron now, in retrospect, seems obvious. His challenger, Marine Le Pen, did not have answers for France, let alone the rest of Europe. And yet, you report that, first of all, there is a hurdle in front of Mr. Macron, the legislative vote in June. And then there is Olaf Scholz, the new chancellor of Germany. Both men are now moving forward as statesmen with different ambitions. I believe Olaf Scholz is right now in the midst of, do I or don't I risk a recession on the basis of cutting back energy from Russia? And can I or can I not travel to Kyiv to show the flag of Germany? And is it enough for me to ship heavy weapons to Ukraine to show that we're supporting NATO? At the same time, Mr. Scholz is very careful to be a balancing act with France. Emmanuel Macron, who's outspoken all the time about everything, most recently has been on the phone, we're told, with Vladimir Putin talking about Mariupol. So this rivalry, is it genuine? Is it something new for the 21st century? Because this rivalry has been a feud and sometimes a catastrophe of a war for the last several hundred years. Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Well, the feud is emerging by default between Germany and France. And I wouldn't even call it a feud. I would say that the German Chancellor, Olaf Scholz, has resigned himself to the fact that the German economy is in severe decline. And his number one objective ahead of anything else in the world, including the Ukraine situation, including balancing with France and so on, his number one goal is to survive and to ensure that the German economy doesn't slip totally out of kilter altogether. And we just did that piece called France Emerging as the Great Power of Continental Europe. And the point is that, as I say, France is in a mess. But for all its challenges, it's reemerged as the great power of continental Europe simply because there is nobody else. Germany is sliding economically at a dramatic rate. It has already cut off a lot of its fuel purchases, its energy purchases from Russia. It's still getting a huge amount from Russia. And if it continues with that, it'll have to start paying in rubles. So it's got to figure out how to do that. And that's all very doable. But the real problem there is, can Germany continue taking some Russian energy supplies and withstand the wrath of the President of the United States? Either way, Germany's in trouble economically because it's paying more for its power. Its productivity is down. Its exports are down. It is facing massive unemployment, massive inflation. And France, for all its troubles, is facing less of that than Germany. So it's going to be interesting. Yes, Emmanuel Macron is facing the parliamentary elections in June, and those in those elections he will be challenged very severely because he's going to have to struggle to get a majority for his party in the Assemblée Nationale. And the opposition, which could be controlled by Marine Le Pen with the National Rally, Rassemblement National, they could have a majority. But either way, it's going to be pretty finely balanced. So Macron is going to be finding it in a difficult period. And yet, France is still in a better position economically than Germany. So by default, in a declining European economic and social environment, France remains the strongest power, particularly now that Britain has removed itself from the European Union.
Do the smaller states, is the question you asked, do the smaller states accept France as the leader, if it is to be the leader of Europe, or is everybody going their own way because of nationalism?
Well, everybody is going their own way because of nationalism and because of dissatisfaction. basically, it's we're seeing France reviving that whole notion of Europe de la grande nation. In other words, Europe is a great nation under France. In other words, it's a which has been the Napoleonic view, if you like, of Europe. So then we saw that replaced in recent years by the largely German-controlled euro as a currency, which controlled the continent. So I think a lot of European states are not happy, whether it's Germany or France. They realize they need some strength in the economy, in the European economy, and in the European currency. What they're all trying to escape from, of course, is the excessive inflexibility which the bureaucracy of the European Union in Brussels imposes on them all. And you said that you felt that Marine Le Pen didn't have something that the electorate wanted. I'm not sure that's the case, and I think the parliamentary elections will show that she has, you know, a considerable strength, and she and her own popularity as a presidential candidate improved dramatically over the last presidential elections. And really, she wasn't expected to win this the presidency in this election, but she was. There were some people who hoped she would, but there was not really a strong chance of that, because once you get to the two finalists in the second round of the voting, those people who were vying for the presidency from the Socialist Party, from the Greens, and so on, when they in the second round, they're not going to put their votes in favor of Marine Le Pen and the Conservative National Rally. They are going to put their votes behind Macron, because he's much more centrist than Le Pen.
Ukraine crisis. The conversation between the president of France and the president of Russia, we're not privy to it, but it's gone on for several weeks. Sometimes President Macron has been criticized for calling Moscow when everybody else is enraged by the revelations in Ukraine. Does Ukraine crisis, whatever the resolution, and it looks like it'll be diplomatic eventually, does that suit France? Is Macron ready to negotiate a peace or at least a ceasefire in Ukraine?
Well, he's certainly willing to try, and he has some legitimate claim to that bid to be the arbiter. You might recall that there's a thing called the Normandy Group, which is France, Russia, Ukraine, which set up a discussion group some years ago. And that gives France the right, as one of the key guarantors, if you like, of stability in that area, the right to negotiate with Russia and with Ukraine. So President Macron started that process early this year when it became clear that the Biden administration was pushing for an actual conflict between Russia and Ukraine. And Macron tried to get in, and he had some meetings earlier with President Putin in Moscow, and that didn't get very far. And he may not get very far this time either. And we see a number of other contenders vying to be the arbiters. One is the People's Republic of China, which has been floating draft agreements around African heads of state for the last couple of months, showing that they could come up with an agreement to end this war. And the other one, of course, which had the favor of Moscow, was bringing Israel in as an arbiter, and Ukraine would probably go along with that as well.
The question of France in leadership of the EU, it's difficult to see beyond Ukraine crisis because of the battlefield reports all the time look like catastrophe. But does France not but, and does France regard the U.S. as necessary to lead in Europe? Does France need good relations with Washington, or can it do this independent of whatever Washington wants?
Well, theoretically, it could do it independently of Washington's desires, but the Biden administration is determined to keep interfering in this crisis. It's pumping, as is Britain, they're pumping massive amounts of weapons into Ukraine with the hope of prolonging and protracting the crisis and inflicting more and more damage on Russia. And that's not necessarily the goal of France. The French do actually remember the Crimean War in the middle of the 19th century. And that was a very damaging war for France and for as well as for Russia. And it didn't actually get anybody anywhere. But the reality is that everybody could resolve this crisis if it wasn't for the fact that Washington and London are really trying to ensure that the crisis does not go away.
Well, does that suit, just finally, because we're going to turn to the Horn of Africa, does that suit Macron to have an unclear end to this, a sloppy end of what could be a frozen conflict? Does that strengthen France's hand in the EU?
No, although I think if he can be seen as an arbiter going forward, then France becomes the balance of power state, if you like, the one which helps determine whether there's peace or not in the region. But the important thing is that with all of this focus on Ukraine, we're seeing the administration in Washington absolutely, totally, 100% ignoring the Indo-Pacific crisis and what the People's Republic of China is doing in its expansionary role. And the Ukraine crisis has been seen in Beijing as an opportunity for the PRC to reassert itself, whereas 6 months ago, it didn't seem to have any great role. It was just contracting.
Gregory Copley, editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs. We're headed to the Horn of Africa, where there's severe drought in addition to the unend of the Ethiopian civil war and the conflict with Sudan, with Egypt over the River Nile and the Grand Renaissance Dam. I'm John Batchelor.